Bookmakers, original podcast brought to you by your friends at TalkStream Radio and ARIA, the Association of Rhode Island Authors. Bookmakers will bring you the best, newest, and most original works from some of today's top writers. Today, Bookmakers is pleased to present author Stephen R. Porter.
Kwai was not aware of the significance of the moment, or her role as part of it. She was not aware that the violent battle that raged around her was to be a momentous turning point in the history of her people, an unrecorded but significant incident in time. And though it was a mere speck on a page of the infinite calendar, it was a moment that closed a millennia of peace and started her people on a decline after enjoying thousands of years of prosperity. And she was not aware of the plight of her brave young husband and brothers, who were off defending their stout woodland village from a vicious enemy invasion. For Wee Kwai was with child, and she was determined with every force of her being to protect it. And though there was expected to be one more moon before her first child's birth, the uncompromising pain in her belly demanded otherwise. She feared that the child she would bring forth might arrive to a village that would no longer exist to welcome it. Hello, my name is Stephen R. Porter, and so begins my historical epic novel, Manasses. Manasses means Island of the Little God. If you're not familiar with Block Island, which is a few miles off the coast of southern Rhode Island, Manasses was the original name given to Block Island by the Narragansett Indian tribe. Today, Block Island is a tremendous tourist destination, a beautiful place to bring your kids, world-class beaches, world-class restaurants, world-class hotels. Many years ago, as a reporter, I would be assigned the duty of covering what was happening on the island of Block Island in my duties for the newspaper. What I learned was not much happens between Labor Day and Memorial Day on Block Island. So my duty was to take the ferry from the quaint fishing village of Galilee across the several miles of violent winter storm-whipped sea into the port of along the main street of Block Island, where I would try to find some folks who were doing something that we could report on. In the summer, the island would be transformed from a few hundred people to several thousand, and the parties and the music and the food and the hotels would come to life. So in my days as a reporter and doing research, I learned quite a lot about the island and became struck by the island's unknown history. Just a few miles south of New England and just a few miles east of New York is a place where explorers like Verrazano, pirates like Captain Kidd, presidents like Ulysses Grant, rum-running ships like the Black Duck, shipwrecks from England and Europe, such as the Princess Augusta, all found their way to the shores of Block Island. But no one really knew about it. When we go into our history classes in middle school and high school, we're taught about the American Revolution and the wars. We're taught about all the things that happened in the last 200, 300, 400 years of American history. But Block Island is never mentioned. And the concept that so many big, important things could happen in such a little place struck me and became the basis for the book Manasses. There is an artist, which many people have seen his work but aren't familiar with his name. His name is Jean-Leon Jerome Ferris. He was born in Philadelphia in about 1863, and he was born, luckily, to a very wealthy family, and his father was also a painter. He painted American history. That was his passion. And he was lucky enough to not have to sell his paintings to earn a living, coming from the wealthy family that he did. So he came up with the idea to chronicle all of American history in a collection of paintings. In his early paintings, he did a very famous painting of Pocahontas, which most people would remember seeing in their grammar school or elementary school or middle school history books. But he painted her in portraying really a Western Indian more than a Eastern Indian. And what he decided to do is devote his life to capturing the essence of history, but not historical moments. An example of this is the famous painting by John Trumbull of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. When you look at that painting, and we've all seen it thousands of times, we see all the delegates standing around in Philadelphia waiting to put pen to paper with Franklin and Adams and Jefferson standing by with pride. The truth is that scene never happened. So the scene that Ferris created to commemorate that moment is a painting that I have hanging above my desk which portrays Adams, Jefferson, and Franklin, not in some glorious moment of history, but standing amongst the pile of crumpled papers and capturing the moment in history, not when the document was signed, but when the document and the idea was conceived. And to me, that's a very profound and important point in history. And Ferris's paintings all portray that. There's another painting Ferris did of Martha Washington, and it's titled The End of the Revolution. And really what it is, it's a painting of a courier handing a note to George Washington's mother. And his mother is taking this note, ready to read this bit of news that's going to tell her whether her son is alive, dead, victorious, or in defeat. And it brings home the point that history doesn't end at the moment that the war ends. History is made and the war ends at the moment that someone finds out about it. And these were the types of moments that Ferris was able to capture. So coming back to my book, I looked at simple things like a single rock, a single place on the beach, a single moment, and how we as individuals all interact with that moment. I'd like to read a brief passage from Manesses that ties into that concept. The book is about a family that relocates to Block Island, to Manesses, this fictional island, and they're kind of just trying to escape their own past and at the same time make a new future for themselves. The two daughters of the family, Prissy and Lucky, Prissy being a precocious 9 or 10-year-old, while Lucky being a little more worldly 16-year-old, don't always see eye to eye or get along, and they find themselves often at odds. So this is a conversation between the two of them on the beaches of Manesses. "Why are you always in your room and not outside? I hate being locked up inside all day," Prissy said. "I don't know. Maybe I feel like I can control things better in here and work on my projects." "I hate art," Prissy said with confidence. "It's stupid." "Art is not stupid," Lucky shot back. "What do you know about art?" "Art is beautiful. It can be a reflection of your soul or your feelings. It can represent the world around you as you see it, from deep inside your imagination. And art keeps you from playing with me." Lucky paused and looked around at the rocks scattered along the ground near the stone wall. The stones were of a variety of sizes, all carried up from the beach by someone generations before, and all shaped and carved flat by thousands of years of tides, wind, and persistent lapping of the waves. Lucky reached down and picked up a few, as if weighing them, rubbed them clean, then laid them out on top of the flattest rock, on top of the stone wall. "Prissy, come over here and help me." "Another thing that art can do is preserve a memory." Lucky placed a large, smooth flat stone on the wall, then balanced another upon it. With great care, Prissy would select other stones, and Lucky would stack and balance them on top of each other. On the first few attempts, the pile came crashing down, and Lucky would have to start all over again. After some time, Prissy helped balance the stones too, and the girls worked for an hour, selecting and balancing them in ideal positions. Lucky showed her how by selecting rocks with certain colors or features, you could create a pretty pattern within the primitive sculpture, and how the sculpture would look different from various angles, giving off differing effects. Once finished, the impromptu sculpture featured the girls balancing stones stood 3 feet tall. A stack of rocks like this is called a cairn. In olden times, Indians used to put these in the woods. Old farmers would put them in their fields, too. They didn't have street signs like we have today, so the cairn might tell them that this was a place where food was stored, or it'd be a marker telling a traveler which direction to go, or it might help identify a grave or a very special, even sacred place. Prissy nodded, captivated by Lucky's explanation. "This cairn sculpture we just made, this little piece of art, commemorates our walk on the beach today," Lucky declared. "Most people who walk by this pile of rocks won't even notice them. A few other people might think it's strange that someone went to the trouble to stack them up in the first place. But whenever you or I walk by this pile, from now on, we will remember this afternoon that we spent together. They're just like the great giant rocks next to the beach. I wonder what those rocks help people remember," Prissy asked. "The difference is nature placed those rocks like that. We created this pile ourselves." "But our cairn is just sitting there. Shouldn't we take it home? What if somebody knocks them over?" So let them knock them over, or even steal them. It doesn't matter. They can't change the fact that we already did it once. We will then have the choice of rebuilding it or just building another one somewhere else. So that passage from Manasses sums up part of the theme of the book, where we're all travelers through time, yet what we create and what we do, who we love, how we feel, who we interact with, all become not only part of our history and our future, but are entwined in our past. Manasses covers several different eras of time, from Captain Kidd and the pirates who buried their treasure, at least in theory, somewhere on the island, from Captain Verrazano, whose ship came very close to stopping at the island and even waved back at the native settlers who were on the island, but because of the rocky coast wasn't able to stay, to President Grant, who came to the island among a fanfare of no one as the islanders went about their regular business. And Grant came to specifically look at the lighthouses that his administration had helped build. Or even the tale of the Princess Augusta, who many think of as the Palatine ship, that hit the rocks along the coast, crashed into the sea, killing many of the people on board. At the time in history, many blamed the islanders for the crash, claiming that on that Christmas Eve, in a snowstorm, in high surf and terrible wind, they lured that ship to the rocks so that it would crash and they could harvest the bounty from the ship after a particularly long and difficult year on the island. All these stories, including the stories from the Narragansetts, the original Manasseans, all happened, yet we don't talk about them. We don't hear about them in our history books. And sometimes the best way to tell those stories is through fiction, is to create families and relationships and honor the people who not only are on the island now, but were on the island in our past and how we are connected to them. So I hope you take the time to read my book, Manasses. I thank you for listening today. Again, my name is Stephen R. Porter. You can find more information about myself and my books on my website, which is www.stephenporter.com, or at my blog along the Village Green, or through my Twitter, Facebook, and other social media sites. So thank you very much for your time today, and happy reading.
You have been listening to Bookmakers, an original series brought to you by ARIA, the Association of Rhode Island Authors, and TalkStream Radio, produced by Massimo Productions. For more information about this and many other authors, visit www.riauthors.org. Join us again on Bookmakers when we bring you more behind-the-scenes stories from writers and their latest work. Thank you for joining us.